So he walked and walked and walked until he finally got back to where he started out. And now he was given 500 pounds for what he had done, or 500 and some pounds. That was a lot of money. Mm. So, of course, now he wanted to have some good time. So he got himself set up as a guide, a hunting guide. He got a permit from the state to hunt any animal. And he decided to take some people out, and they came from a very famous American family. I forget just the top of my head the name of the family, but he was going to take them out on a hunt. And about 2 days before he started on this trip, walking in to hunt elephant, he first of all, he fell into a panther trap, where they had put these stakes, spiky stakes. He fell down between them, thank God.
Wow.
But he hurt his hand. And then he went bicycling. All he had was a bicycle. So he, because he hurt his hand, he tumbled off his bicycle, and he had another, one of his arms didn't work quite well. But he still went on an elephant hunt. And he went out early to shoot the first elephant. He was so eager to beat even those people who were paying for him to guide them. He had two guys with him, two natives, hunters, good guys. And he found a rogue animal. And he fired both shots at the elephant and just ruined it. It made it really, really mad. And before he could load again because of his crippled hand, he only had one barrel loaded. And he shot again. And the elephant just kept on going until he finally picked him up, threw him in the air. When he came down, he trampled on him. And then the elephant tore up a whole bunch of trees all the way around and piled them on top of this. And the two native guys were absolutely petrified. They ran back to camp and told them what had happened. So then the hunting party went out and shot the elephant in the absence of their guide. And in this one book, this soft cover book, that one.
Brevet fra Congo.
He tells somewhere that he is walking through part of the Belgian Congo. And it came about a tombstone for Gustav Middelfart. He said, who the hell was he? Mm. Out in just wild country, there's absolutely no development, anything around.
Mm.
So the Belgians, who were the government regulators of the little bit of regulation they had down in the Belgian Congo, they must have erected this tombstone for him.
Wouldn't you like to find that spot?
Yes. And then Ingeborg, back in Norway, his older sister, they were very close together. She wrote down to the Belgian authorities because she had just heard that her brother died, but no explanations. And this functionary who had been involved wrote back. And he said he was an amazing man. They'd never met anybody so honest. He never did anything wrong. No corruption, nothing. And I think it was 23 that he died. 23 or 24. So everybody in the family decided that he had got exactly the kind of life that was suitable to him. And that they were all pretty well glad that he never came back. But of course, he couldn't really survive back in Norway because they said that he was now so accustomed to living in the heat that he would freeze to death in Norway. They didn't want to see him.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me a story about somebody as a child being shown Gustav on the street.
When mother was visiting, probably right after the First World War, she went up to visit with Anna and Axel. She was friends with them. And Anna and mother walked down Karl Johan. Mm-hmm. And across the streets from where they walked, there was a man standing in an upstairs window of a hotel. And Anna turned to mother and said, "That is your Uncle Gustav. And this is the closest you'll ever get to him." That was the kind of introduction that stunned mother. She hadn't heard of of this kind of thing.
She'd been raised in the United States.
Yeah. So it shocked her.
Yeah.
It put some distance between her and her aunt. Mm.
Do you remember her telling you that?
The hotel?
Yeah, that story.
No.
How did you learn that of that portion of the story?
Mother told us.
Do you remember her telling you that?
No.
Did she tell you when you were younger or when you were older?
You know that? I don't know.
Okay. Had you... It was before you moved to Canada?
Oh, way before.
Okay, so you were younger then.
Yeah.
Because you came to Canada when you were 23?
33? 55. 22.
Yeah. Huh. I was 22 when I went in Toronto.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, I escaped. That was... Did you escape too?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that I escaped.
The air smelled different. Was so wonderful.
It belonged to you.
Yep. I couldn't understand it even. Everything was better.
It still is a good country to come to.
I never looked back. Never.
I understand that.
Yeah. My parents never understood.
No. They were from a different time, Dad.
Yeah.
They were from a time that was still associated with the time of Gustav. And all those familial feelings and how you treat each other and how you do and don't look out for each other. They were still part of that long ago time.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure were. And she... In one of her letters to me after I left, I was still writing pretty angry letters home. Mother explained what they had done for me. They had let me leave Norway. They had let me, they were going to support me for 4 years at UBC. I should show some appreciation to the parents. And I thought, fuck you. I didn't feel I owed her one iota. And the poor woman, she was a wonderful, mild-natured person, but she didn't understand. Mm. Because she had treated Maggie just exactly the way as Ulrich treated me. Mm. Mm. Crap all over the next one in line. Mm. And Mother felt nothing when she lived in Norway. She was so close to Maggie. Maggie was so angry at my mother at one point, you know, that she had trouble communicating with her.
Is this why you felt very close to Maggie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think while she felt close to me too.
Yeah, I have fond memories of Tante Maggie. She was very funny. She reminded me of a little button.
I'll never forget being in her kitchen.
Yes. And she made fish balls, and she ate one, it was too hot, and she spat it out, and your glasses caught it on her chest.
Was that how she got it?
She spat it out, and it landed on her glasses. She made Fiskable for us. That was very funny. We all laughed. And she did too.
She was a good person.
I have a picture somewhere of me as a baby on a blanket outside, and she is standing over looking after.
Is that right?
She would have been, she looks in my mind in the picture, she looked like she was late 60s or into her 70s.
I think she was nearly 85 or something like that. She died quite old.
Yeah.
And Hilary Louise probably told you the story of when she and I went on to Eau Claire. And Helen, I think it was, took us to the home where Maggie was, and she was sitting in a wheelchair. And Wheezy peeked around the corner, coming from one room into where she was sitting. And Maggie, who had forgotten, just thought everybody's name, said, "Wheezy!" And then we came in and we stood around our chair and we were talking about it. All of a sudden, there was this water dripping below. She was peeing.
Yeah.
And Helen said, "Maggie, you should go to the bathroom." And Maggie said, "I haven't finished yet." And we all roared and laughed. She didn't give one damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was very close to when she died. It wasn't very long after that, if I remember correctly.
She didn't have any children.
She never married. She was considered to be, just the way I was considered to be, too dumb to go to university. She wanted to study medicine.
Wow.
And her father wouldn't allow her.
Wow.
Then she wanted to study music, and he said, "No, there's no money in that," so she couldn't do that. And he had to die before she could get into music, and she played the recorder beautifully.
I have a book of her recorder songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere.
But she was never a popular teacher in Eau Claire. She was so angry at the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
She had so much anger in her that she just couldn't function properly. She was bawling out the kids singing. And Eric, I think, both of them went and had piano lessons and recorder. And Gad said, "Well, we really have to stop this because the kids were coming home in tears."
Oh, all the time. Yeah, that's not so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it leaks out. These feelings leak out in one direction or another, as hard as you try to not.
Yeah.
Well, maybe one day I will get to the Belgian Congo and find that thing of Gustav.
It would be an amazing thing to find, wouldn't it?
It would be.
To have a picture of it.
Yeah. What time is it now?
1:00.
Okay. I will stop this one.
Yeah.